Oh, Nicole reminded us that it's 18 years this May 4th. May 2nd.
Yeah.
Is that 18 years? 18 in ministry? Years. In ministry?
Yeah, S4C. S4C. You. Only you.
Yeah.
Only you.
Pray us in.
Hallelujah. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, for time we get to spend in fellowship and supping on your word together, dear Lord. We thank you for Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, and the time he took to prepare, dear Jesus, and hear from you, dear Lord. We come with excitement to hear from you, dear Jesus, allowing your Holy Spirit to speak to and through him this afternoon and this morning, dear Lord. And now it gets to be shared to us, so we are super excited, dear Lord. We stand, we encourage him on this morning, dear Lord, to do your will with boldness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Yes, sir.
God is good. Cora just walked in.
What's up, Cora?
Hallelujah. I am going to write down a couple of scripture here. All right. Everybody's blessed?
Amen.
All right. Sensational. You look sensational. All right, so I'm going to go to Psalms 119 and 2. Psalms 127 and 2. Isaiah 66. Praise God. All right. Elohim Tov. Oh, you guys weren't paying attention. Pastor Ben is Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
All right. Well, this is one of my favorite days of the year. I did not lose my mother. I know where she is. She's in heaven. So. But, you know, each time Mother's Day comes around, it gives me a whole lot of great memories. And so a couple years ago, it was Mother's Day. I think it was a couple of years ago. And I wanted to do a Mother's Day message, right? But I didn't want to bore you, right? So I prayed and I said, Lord, I want to do a Mother's Day message, but I want it to be something from you, not from me. And then, you know, if you ask God something like that, and he's going to like, okay, let's do it, okay? So the first thing he brought to my mind was that there are 7 women in the Bible that if it were not for God's miracle hand, they would not have been able to have children. And so he said, first of all, you have to look at those 7 women, because without them, they would not been able to have children. So he says, and there's a reason why I made 7 of them. And he says, and when you we get to the end of the study, you'll find out why. Okay. So if you want this study, I do have it at home. I'll have Pastor Ben send it out or I'll print it up. I was just looking at it this morning, and it just reminded me that God gave me this just because I asked, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a good lesson for me. Like, if you want something from God, you need to ask. And so what the Lord showed me was this. Let's look at the board, okay? So there's 7 women in the Bible, and these 7 women could not have children. So God gives them to us, but he's given it to us in order. So the first to not be able to have a child was Sarah, right? And how old was Sarah when she had her child? Like 90 years old? Anyway, so if you 90, is that a miracle?
That's a miracle.
Okay. So Sarah has a child, and Sarah, her name in the Hebrew has a numerical value of 510, okay? Now, Sarah means princess, but after she believed the gospel, you know, because her husband believed the gospel first, right? And her husband's name was Abram. And then after he believed the gospel, what did God do for Abram? He changed his name, right? What did he add to Abram's name? He added the hay, which is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So if you believe the gospel, what do you get?
The Spirit of God.
You get the Spirit of God inside of you. So Abraham believed the gospel. He no longer can be called Abraham. I mean, Abram, he has to be called Abraham, because now you got the Spirit of God inside of you. So he told the story to Sarah. Sarah believed it. She believed, and she's no longer Sarai. She is Sarah, because now she has the Spirit of God also inside of her. So her name means princess, but after he added the hay, it became the noble woman. So Sarah means noble woman. Mm-hmm. So the prince became a noble woman. Then the next time in the Bible that a woman needed God to intervene was Rebecca. And so Rebecca has her child, and the name of Rebecca's name means hitched. And this is where we get the phrase tie the knot, okay? So it means hitched, it means to tie the knot. It is the word that we use for marriage, okay? So Rebecca, and then the numerical value of how you spell it in Hebrew is also added to it as well. Then Rachel means a lamb, okay? So Rachel means lamb, and then her numerical value is 238. And then there's the story of Hannah, who went to God and begged for a child. And so then Hannah has her child, and Hannah's name is really like, it means grace, okay? It's Noah, like Noah is Hannah, which is, so, but when you add the H to it, because it's a female, it's Hannah, so it's grace is 63 in the Hebrew, and that's Hannah, who was able to have her child. Then we have this seventh woman that was, that could not have her child. I mean, she could not have a child, but, and I'm thinking this is wrong, because I think Hannah belongs, I think Samson's mother belongs in the middle. I mean, I think she's the fourth one. But I'll look at my page in a minute. So anyway, Samson's mother wants to have a child too, okay? But she's been barren. And finally, this guy comes to her called what? The angel of the Lord, right? Which is no such thing in the Hebrew. His name is really Messenger Yahweh. So God comes to her and tells her, you're going to have a son. And gives him all the information. He's going to be a Nazareth. Don't cut his hair. He won't drink anything, and all of this stuff. So Samson's mother has a child, but they never give you the name of Samson's mother. Okay, so it remains blank. But then Elizabeth is the next person that needs God to have a child. Okay, so Elizabeth means a promise from God. Okay. So Elizabeth has her child, and then Mary is the last one of the seven to have her child. And Mary means they will rebel, okay? Now, there's a word in Hebrew that is for crucified. Its numerical value is 1823, which is the sum of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 names of the women. So it means that God knew from the very beginning that these seven women that needed a miracle touch from him, the numerical value of all of their names would mean crucified, because Mary means they will rebel. Okay? So it's an example of something that God wanted to show me how detailed his work is, okay? I'm gonna go through it, what it means when you look at them all together, okay? And and of course I need my glasses. And now this is what it means, okay? It means a princess, Sarah, shall become a noble woman. The next one, she will get married. That's hitched, right? Who will she get married to? The next one is the lamb. Okay? So the princess will become a noble woman and will get married to the lamb. The lamb will be, and that should be the fourth one, only thing we know about Samson is that the God tells him is that he will be a Nazarite, okay? He will be a Nazarite and he will be like the sun, okay? So the fourth child, it means he will be a Nazareth. So you go Sarah, the princess, and the princess, shall get the prince will become a noble woman. She will get married to the lamb. He will be a Nazarite. Hannah means grace. The covenant will be of grace. Six, this is a promise of God, Elizabeth. Seventh, they will rebel against her son, which is Christ. But the whole matter of it is that a woman is going to be a princess, but she's going to become a noble woman. And after she becomes a noble woman, she's going to get married. And who's she going to get married to? The Lamb. It will be a covenant of grace. And it will be it is a promise from God, and they will rebel against her son. Okay? So this was God putting seven women in there that he had to touch, but he wanted to send an integrated message to let us know this is not just seven women. This is telling you the prophecy, because the word of God is prophecy. This is telling you a prophecy about what's going to happen, okay? Because Christ is coming. He will be the Lamb. He will be a Nazarite. He will get married. He will get married to a noble woman, right? His marriage covenant will be a covenant of grace, okay? But they will rebel against him, okay? And then now you add all the numbers of these six, and you get the Greek word, exact numerical value, crucified, okay? So one of the things that God wants us to know is that your victory was already written before you got here. You understand? As a member of the body of Christ, your victory was already written before you got here. So you can't sit around worrying about things that are not your business to worry about. You understand? And some of the things that we worry about is the progression of the world and the way it's going. The war, the pandemic, the this and that. We worry about all these things. But God, all God sees is, I'm going to ask you guys a question, and I don't want to be sexist, so I'll just say, there's a football player called Beast Mode, right? You guys know of him? Okay. Anyway, he has the most famous run in the history of football. They hand him the ball. The first guy tries to tackle him, but he hits him. He bounces off that guy. Then he turns around and another guy tries. He jumps over that guy. Then three more guys grab him and they're trying to pull him down, but he breaks away from those three guys. Then he's spinning around. He loses where he's at when he spins around. He gets back onto his course and he starts running again. Another guy's trying to catch him. He touches him, but he pulls away from him. And then about like 75 yards later, he's in the end zone like this. You understand? Now, what do you think God saw from the beginning of that run? Him in the end zone with his hands up, right? So you have to understand your victory is already planned. You understand? God sees you standing in front of thousands upon thousands of angels in glorious assembly at a marriage, at a wedding feast, and your, I don't even want to say your righteousness, God's righteousness that's inside of you is what's going to get you there, okay? Amen. The only thing that can nullify your visit to the end zone is you run out of bounds or you quit. You understand? So he could have like, you know what, I'm just tired. I'm running out of bounds. I'm getting it. Once he does that, the end zone story is over. So I'm never telling people like, oh, you got to be perfect till you get there. No, you just got to keep running. Amen. You understand? Amen. If you keep running, you'll get there. Amen. And you'll get to exactly where God said you're going to be. Amen. If you keep running.
Yes. Yeah.
So I want everyone to know and understand. And I want to say this from the heart of God. God says, I have no problem with who you are. I got no problem with who you are. I knew you was jacked up when I met you. I got no problem. All I'm asking, give me a chance to love you.
Amen.
All right. Give me a chance. You know what I mean? Don't break up with me before we get there.
Yeah.
Give me a chance.
Yeah.
All right. Amen. When you do stuff that's jacked up, just don't break up with me. Cause you do something. That's like a man, huh? I do something, then I blame the person, right? You do something, then you say, oh, it's because of God, so I quit.
Right.
No, it ain't got nothing to do with God. You messed up, but don't quit.
Right.
Hang in there with me. You know what I mean? We can still make it, baby. You know what I mean? I know you having problems, right? That's what Pastor Noel Jones, he said, when he married his wife, he's been a pastor for what, 35 years? He's far beyond us. But he said when they got married, he just loved going to the clubs and playing music and drinking and she was a godly woman, you know, she's going to church. And she said, I'm not going to give up on you, though. She said, you jacked up, but I'm not going to give up on you. And he kept going to clubs, coming back, just a little drunk, coming home. And she just hung in there with him until one day he came home and said, you know what? I want to go to church.
Amen.
And he went to church and he got saved. Then he got serious about God. Then he opened a church. And now here's 35, almost 40 years later. He's probably 76 years old or something now. And he bounces around just as like he's 14, 15 years old. And he's still pastoring. Amen. So I'm saying just understand the process, okay? Amen. Satan's number one goal is for you to find another religion that's running out of bounds.
Yeah.
Or quit, okay? And if you don't do either one of those, he's got you. Because when you're inside the lines and you keep running, you can go, you can shake stuff off. That means you can ask for forgiveness, mm-hmm. right? You can keep moving. You can keep doing all these things because God's forgiveness is with you as long as you're still running. You understand? One thing you cannot do is play games with God.
Amen.
So don't think God is mocked. Like I'm going to pretend. Yeah. As if he doesn't know. Okay, so what I wanted to show is these women are by a miracle touch, God is birthing a child, okay? There is still one more miracle or two more miracle births that have to happen. And one of the births is the fact that Israel, the nation of Israel, is still pregnant with children. Okay.
Amen.
The nation of Israel hasn't produced what God wants from her, okay? But the nation of Israel is pregnant. And is pregnant with two children. Because as Gentile believers, we have no possibility of being saved if Jesus Christ doesn't die on the cross.
Amen.
If Jesus Christ is not Hebrew and not Jewish, then what is he? So we have a Jewish man who comes into Israel, and he's going to birth us into the kingdom by basically impregnating Israel with two children. Now Israel has to give birth, because she can't give birth to her own children, because her own children are disobedient and won't believe the gospel. And we have these other children that are obedient, but we're still in the earth, and God's definition of birth is not the earth realm in a flawed body. It's a resurrected body in a heavenly realm, okay? Yeah. So there are two children that need to be birthed out of Israel, okay? Now, I want us to look at Psalms 19. And I'm gonna try to look in the King James and see if it is written well. Psalms 19. This is what the Lord wants you to know. Psalms 19. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, meaning the skies, show his handiwork. Day after day, they utter speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. Who knows what God is talking about right there? Talking about the firmament and the sky, and they're speaking to us day after day. They're telling us, what are they telling us? They're telling you God's plan. Okay, God's plan is in the star constellations. He put them in the star constellation. If you weren't here on Thursday, or if you didn't hear, Eve sinned, and her number is 19 for the name of Eve, and she sinned, which caused God to put 48 constellations in the sky so that he could have a plan for our salvation. So those 48 star constellations are every night and every day telling us about the plan of God, okay? Yeah. From the virgin, yeah, or what you call Virgo, to the Lion of Judah, the victory with the Lion of Coming, it's all telling you about God's plan and how he's going to bring you into glory, okay? So he put those star constellations into the sky when? On the fourth day of creation. He didn't make man until the sixth day. So what does it say about God? That means I already knew we needed to put this into the GPS system, yep, just in case that, yep, turns the wrong way. You understand?
Yeah.
So the salvation is already planned. Like he already planned these seven women so that he could already tell you the end of it is going to be, the last one's going to be crucified. Yeah. I'm already telling you the plan because I already know the victory. Yeah. You understand? Listen to the rest of what this is saying. It says in verse 5, in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And rejoices like a strong man to run its course or run its race. its rising is from one end of heaven and circuits to the end, to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. So the sun is making its course through the star constellation. It's going through the gospel. And it's going through the gospel like a bridegroom.
Amen.
Like a son. Because one day, that a marriage is going to take place. So the sun is going through, like, and he's going through the constellations, and he's coming back and he's circled around, and the end of the circle is the wedding, because he's like a bridegroom. The sun is like a bridegroom. So the whole thing, and one day the sun is going to come from the east with flaming heat, and is going to also bring judgment. So people need to know and understand, the sun can be your friend.
Yeah.
God's a nice guy, but he can be a bad dude, right? That's when one rapper said that. I said, he is absolutely right.
Yep.
So which side you're on is the matter that you're trying to resolve while you're here. Okay? Yeah. Listen to this. It says here, and he rejoices like a strong man to run his race. His rising is from one end of heaven and his circus to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now it says he is like a strong man. What strong man is he talking about? What strong man do we know about in the Bible?
Samson.
Samson is the fourth mother who had trouble having a child. And God doesn't give her name.
Ooh, right.
Why doesn't God give her name? Why? Because she asked Melech Yahweh, the angel of the Lord. She asked Melech Yahweh, what is your name? And what should we do when the child is born? And he says, why are you asking me my name, seeing that it is Pele, which means wonderful? Okay? It is wonderful. Why are you asking my name, seeing that? See, the Hebrew word wonderful means beyond your understanding and too far for you to reach for, okay? So why are you asking my name, since it is Pele? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Same word, Pele. You understand? So he's letting you know we're talking about the birth of the Son of God here. Okay? Because that son that's going to be born, he's saying, why are you asking my name? My name is Pele. It's wonderful. Okay? And it's not for you to understand right now, but just do what I'm telling you to do. So she gives birth to the strong man.
Yeah.
And the strong man is running his course, because at the end, the strong man wants a victory. You understand?
Man.
Let's go to Psalms 127. I'm gonna take you to the end, then we'll take you to the middle of the story. Here it goes. All right, here we are. And it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the labor is in vain. Who built it? Unless the Lord builds the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. In vain for you too rise up early to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage for the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like the arrow in the hand of the strong man, Yours might say warrior, but in Hebrew it's going to say the gabor, which is the strong man. Look, like the arrows in the hands of the strong man, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Now listen, this strong man is running his course. This strong man is going to have children. He says he's going to have many children. And it says, like a quiver full of children, this is the reward of the strong man. To have many sons and daughters in his family sitting around the table. Now, 127 is for the year 2027, and 2028 is the end of the fig tree generation. So he's telling you, I'm about to birth the last of my children. He's not going to birth the first of his children, because the first of his children, look at this. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 66. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Are you there, 66? Now watch, I'm going to read this because, and you, most of you know this, but I want you, we're going to start in verse 7. And it says, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pain comes upon her, she delivers a son. Okay? Then it says, a numerical value of a sentence that means Jesus. It says, who has ever heard of such a thing? Jesus. Who has ever heard of a woman giving birth without having any pain? But it says Israel is going to do it. The nation of Israel is going to birth that whole Gentile family of believers in Yeshua out of this earth. And we're going to be birthed out of this earth. And guess what? Before she goes into labor.
Yes. Amen.
Before she has any birth pains. What are her birth pains? The tribulation. God wrote this so that goofy people won't say the church is going through the tribulation. I'm writing you something to let you know that there are two children that Israel is pregnant with,
yeah,
and they both have to be birthed into resurrected bodies out of the earth.
Yeah.
Both of them have to be birthed out. The first one is going to be birthed out with no tribulation pain, with no pain. And if you don't understand that, you'll be watching YouTube and somebody will say, we're going to go through the first 3.5 years of the birth pains, and then we're going to go. Mm-hmm. And then now they become what? A false prophet, because you're telling the opposite story of the God who wrote the Bible.
That's right.
You understand?
Yeah.
So I want you to know the strong man is running his course, and it's his reward to have children. Yeah. Now watch this. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before her pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who, it says, who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? Can a country be born in one day? Or a nation be born, brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor, what's that? In tribulation, than she gives birth to her children. Who are her children? The Jews. The Jewish people. Now she's going to give birth to her children. When? After the tribulation. After the pains have come upon her. She's going to now have another group of children that are going to be saved. And the strong man, it says, is about to sit around the table with all of his children sitting at the table, because it's his reward to have a whole quiver of them, he said. Now, I don't know what big quiver means, but it's a bunch.
I mean, the arrows.
Huh? Is that right?
They keep the arrows.
Oh, that's where they keep all the arrows. Well, anyway, he's going to have a whole bunch of kids. So it is always Jesus' plan to have children, to multiply the kingdom of God, to give them a place and a heritage with him. We did it on Thursday. We told about God's plan just with the first seven letters. God has built a house. He showed kindness. He sent the door to get into the kingdom, which is Jesus. After the Jesus, he sent, hey, the Holy Spirit to teach you how to stay on course. And then Vav 6, he brought salvation, connected you to God. 7, he gave you transcendent life.
Yeah.
That is the menorah lamp. That's the seven lamps. He's telling you his plan, just like he told you about these seven women, but they have a plan. The end of this, these seven women is a young man being crucified.
Yeah.
And he had to have been thinking about it when Sarah was there. And he couldn't think about it when Elizabeth or Mary, he was thinking about it in Sarah's day.
Yeah.
That he's coming. Now, I want you guys to know something. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12 before the Lord gives me this next thing. Verse 5. Now, let's go to verse 4 first. It says, a tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. Watch this. She gave birth to a male child, okay, to a male child who would rule all nations with an iron scepter. And her child was harpazoed up to God and to his throne. Now, this is a double prophecy. We're talking about Jesus, who's going to rule, but we're going to reign and rule with him. But it's also talking about a child who gets harpazoed. That means snatched up into heaven. That's raptured, okay? That is not, I'm talking to you and I'm saying, okay, I got to go. It's the 40th day and I ascend, which is a different word in the book of Acts. Jesus was not snatched up. He ascended up into heaven, and it uses the word properly. But here we say we have that a woman is going to give birth to a child that's going to get snatched up.
Amen.
So I would love to be a pastor that didn't have to talk about the rapture, but you know what? The whole Bible talks about the wedding and the rapture. Everything's about the wedding. Even this son that's going to be born is eventually getting hitched.
Yep.
And you're going to get hitched to a lamb. Who's going to get hitched? The noble woman is going to get hitched to a lamb, and it'll be a covenant of grace. And he's going to be the strong man. And he's going to be a Nazareth. Okay? And that's the promise of God. But they're going to rebel against their son. So I'm already telling you the story. It started in Genesis. I didn't start in the New Testament. I didn't start in the New Testament to tell you about the rapture. I talked about the rapture in Genesis. I told you about a bride that was created from the side of the first Adam, and the bride was brought to him. If she was not brought to him, I would have told you, I told him to come and get his bride. But no, she was brought to him so that you will know that she's going to be brought to him.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
My joy is in the victory. My joy is in the confirmation of the victory. You know what confirms my victory? The Bible. You know what confirms the Bible? Prophecy.
Amen.
That's right.
Because if everything that God already spoke wasn't happening, Amen. Then I could say, okay, I asked the guy one time, I said, hey, you know what? I was Rahman Abdul Rahim. Show me some prophecies in the Quran. He said, there's no prophecies in the Quran. I said, then how do you know if it's fulfilled anything? He said, I don't know. Well, I was like, man, I got to get out of this religion. you don't have any prophecies that you can show that he said and then it came true? You don't have any? He says, there's no prophecies in the Quran. I was like, psst. I said, the Bible has prophecies. It tells you that Israel is going to be birthed. They're going to lose their nation. And then after 2,520 years, they're going to come back into their nation. That happened. It tells you that where they're going to suffer in Gomer, which is Germany. They were in Germany. It tells you the year that they're going to come back. 1945 is going to be over. It tells you when they're going to come back as a nation, 1948. It does all of these prophecies. Yet you're telling me the Quran has no prophecies? I can't trust it.
Right.
I need a book that tells me that this is truth. Yeah. Right. God has never said, I want you guys to all have blind faith. Just believe. Mm-hmm. No, I'm giving you prophecies, and I'm going to give you some stuff in my scriptures that you can't deny that I'm God. You tell me somebody else planned this. What about the first 10 names of the Bible? Man has been appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God will come down teaching that his name will bring his son will bring the rest that you need, right? So those are first 10 names of the Bible, and it's telling you the gospel. So I don't want to have blind faith. I had that when I was Rahman. That was blind faith. You were just telling me to believe something that had no prophecy, no proof, no biblical reference, no numerical gematria, nothing. It's just telling me, believe this because we tell you. But God said, I'm not doing that with my children. I'm giving you proof. And I'm letting you know the victory is already done.
Yeah.
It's done. You understand? Like the Lord told me before, last year, he said, in you guys' eyes, the rapture is coming. In my eyes, it already happened. I already see you standing in the end zone. I already see the angels around you. I already see you dancing. I already see the security angels coming through trying to calm you down and relax. I already see all that. This is already done. We're not dealing with religion. How many prophecies do and gematrias and everything do I have to show you to prove to you that God is real?
Hallelujah.
Okay?
Hallelujah.
I have no concern. Everybody in the tribulation is going to start getting saved. Why? You guys ever thought of that? In the tribulation, all these people, it says, they refuse to take the mark. They refuse to worship the beast. They're standing in heaven with white robes on. And he says, who are these people? He says, these are them that have come out of the great tribulation. You mean they were now willing to get their heads cut off and die for the name of Jesus? Why? Something happened in earth that changed a whole lot of minds. Okay? Something happened. What they heard about, now they're going to believe. Now is the day of your watchman. Now you're going to believe. Now you're going to understand that your existence is not your flesh. How do you know? Because I saw people disappear and they told me about it.
Man.
They told me that was going to happen.
Man.
And when it happened, their faith is going to be stronger. And they're going to say, now, not all of them. All of them be like, hey, give me the mark. I need some fried chicken. You know what I mean? Because hunger will drive you to the other way. You understand? There's some things that are going to happen. But it says there's a whole bunch of them that says, I don't care what you do. I don't care if I starve to death. I'm making it to heaven. I'm almost finished here. Let's go back to, what was that other verse God gave me? 127, Isaiah 66. Oh, I did all those. Ha! Okay. Oh, here we are. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
10 minutes.
Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to the book. I think it's Judges. And we're going to, I just want to talk to you a little bit about Samson. Okay? Because Samson is the strong man. Matter of fact, where's my phone? I probably could get it better here. I'm learning, Pastor. I'm getting technical.
I see.
I was texting the other day. Don't hate on my growth. Don't hate on my growth. Huh? No, I'm keeping my pager just in case somebody trying to get a hold of me. All right. Now watch this. Okay, Samson, she gives birth to Samson. Samson's name means anointed. It also means, Samson also means the sun, but it means anointed. It's also the same word for Smyrna, which is eight. You understand? The birth of Samson, the complete birth of Samson, is telling you this is the strong man, and he's going to do some things because Jesus is going to do what this guy's doing. First of all, he has to be a Nazareth. Was Samson a Nazareth? Mm-hmm. He was a Nazareth, okay? So this is the thing with Samson. The number one thing I want you to know. Samson is on his way, and he sees a lion already killed on the side of the road. And he's not supposed to touch a dead thing because he's a Nazareth. But these bees are inside of Samson. And they've been making honey inside of this dead lion. He reaches into the dead lion and pulls out some of the honey and tastes it. And he says, so good to him. He takes some of them home and he gives it to his Jewish parents. And they taste it. And they say, oh, this is good. So who's the lion that had to experience death? Christ. Now, the word be in Hebrew is deber, which means the word of God. So the same word for be and the same word for words is the same in Hebrew. So he reaches in, he grabs the word of God and he tastes it. He takes some home to his Jewish family and they taste it and they like it. This is at the end of the tribulation, you understand? Because the lamb already died. So in the story of Samson, he's trying to tell you, this strong man is going to do some things the same as Jesus. He's finally going to get the word to his parents, even though the lion has to die before, but he's going to finally get the word to his own people. You understand?
Yeah.
Wow.
The last, and we all know this, the two words in Hebrew for the pillars, which Samson is standing there blind, and he asks God, just give me the opportunity to bring judgment on these people one more time. I'm blind, they got me tied up, but they placed me between the pillars of the auditorium. And the pillars are holding up the auditorium. The pillars is 120, which means congregation in Greek, but it's times 10 because it's 120 in Hebrew, but times 10 is 1200. So the pillars is the foundation of the church. So he's here and he's standing between the pillars and he wants to bring judgment, but he can't bring judgment. Why? The congregation is in the way. The pillars are in the way. I've got to get rid of the pillars before judgment comes.
Yeah.
I'm now telling you, you see this, but I'm now telling you another time, judgment cannot come till the church is pushed out of the way. I'm trying to tell you the same story over and over so you don't get on YouTube and go, well, I'm getting prepared for the first 3.5 years. No, when the rapture happens, it's going to be a normal day. You might be at a wedding.
Right.
You might be shopping. The scripture that we found that puts everything in the place, the Holy Spirit, the church, and the Holy Spirit, the scripture found is after the pandemic. Did God know we'd find that right now?
Yeah.
I think he did.
Yeah.
Amen.
I think he did. You didn't find it before the pandemic.
Nope.
We found it after, and it brings the Holy Spirit, the church, and Jesus together in the first five books of the Bible.
Yeah.
So the thing is, the pillars are going to get pushed out. Judgment will come, but not until the pillars get out of the way. You got to go. You got to go. You're in the way. Okay? You're in the way. Romans chapter 11, verse 25, and then we'll be done. Even in the story of Samson, once he does find his bride, his dad asked him, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm preparing the meal for my bride." Samson's in there cooking.
Amen.
He's preparing because he's getting married. So he's in there preparing a meal for the bride.
Amen.
When the apostles get to the seashore, was Jesus already cooking?
Yep.
How many apostles came to shore? Seven. How many churches are there? Seven. Who's doing this? Because he's trying to confirm to you something. But if you don't study, it's easy. Because I'm telling you, if I had a mechanic shop and I was crooked, oil changes would be $375. And it'll be an additional $500 to look at the rest of the engine.
Right.
Because I know you don't know nothing.
Right.
So I can tell you whatever I want. You got the money. I need the money.
Right.
You're not a friend.
Right.
So it's like Satan can lie to you if you don't study. So he's trying to. So I'm telling you, God produced this brain here, right? It's like, learn Hebrew. I'm going to show you the Bible, but from my perspective, not theirs. I'm going to show it to you from Hebrew so you can see what I did with the letters, what I did with the numbers, what I did with the prophecies, what I did with the typologies, so that you can always stay on course and truth. So nobody can tell you, oh, get ready. You might be able to dig some holes in the backyard, because I'm telling you right now, we're going to go through half of this. And the Bible's like, no, I'm pushing you out of the way. Then it'll come down. Don't you know Lot had to go?
Yes.
You know, the angels are standing here like, Lot, look, bruh, we just told you judgment is coming. We're trying to bring judgment here. Lot's like, well, you know, I can't go over there. It's too far. I'm an old man. He's like, if you just go, okay, I will give you permission. Just go over there, because we can't do nothing till you leave.
You're right. Amen.
So God is always telling you the same thing, right? The church has got to go. Because you're in the way of judgment.
Yes. Yeah.
Three people got stabbed and hacked to death in a park by Palestinian terrorists on their birthday. Like if you're in 4th of July and you're celebrating 4th of July and some terrorists just come in there with knives and hats and just kill three people. This is still going on in Israel. You understand? There ain't nothing good about this world because you think the pandemic's over.
Right.
God still got stuff to do here.
Right.
There's things that needs to be judged. There are people that still need to go to Hades and live there. You understand? There's some evil stuff in here I can't even talk to you about because it would gross you out that people do in this world. So don't ever think this is a good world and everything's going to be okay. Look, we don't have to wear the mask anymore. It's back to normal. Yeah, scary day, because you know what? When the rapture happens, on a normal day.
Yep.
Okay?
Amen. Yep. Amen.
You in Romans?
Yeah.
I took a commercial. I'm sorry. Yeah. Copy.
Romans 11,
25. Here we are. This is my wonderful scripture. It says, listen, because I was talking to one of our friends the other day, Christine. She's like, I like her because I like Bereans. She's asking me a whole lot of questions. She believes she's Jewish. I said, girl, go ahead with your bad self. If you want to believe you're Jewish and you got to keep the 613 laws, you go ahead and do it right as much as you want. But I'm going to tell you right now, I am under a new covenant.
Yes.
Okay, and I am not going to put myself under stress trying to keep 613 laws. Because if you decide you're going to keep one, guess what the law says? You got to keep them all. So you can't say I keep the Sabbath, but I don't keep this. You got to keep them all. So I'm out of that. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free in Christ. No. Here it is. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant of the mystery, my brother. This is Paul talking to Christians. So that you may not be conceited. And start going, oh, we're God's people, but the Jews are still bad. They crucified Christ. Don't be a goofball. Study the word, okay? It says, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles, eschomachi. And I don't speak Greek, but I'm going to tell you what it means. It means travel and leave and enter into another city, rather be a man or an animal. If you travel and you leave and you enter another city, you have eschomachi. So he's saying here, look, in part until the full number of the Gentiles get out of here, travel and leave and enter another city. And so all of Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out from Zion and will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As for the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as for the election, who's the elect? Israel. They are loved on the account of the patriarchs. Now, for God's gift and calling is irrevocable. He gave them a promise, and he said, the promise I gave to the forefathers is irrevocable. I'm still going to save Israel. I'm still going to save them. But before I save them, I've gone to the Gentiles. I'm getting a church and gathering a bride for Jesus. Then I'm going to birth them out. And then after the tribulation or after the birth pains, I'm going to birth out her own children. Okay? I want you guys to know and understand. There's a lot going on in the earth. Personal problems, people getting sick, all of these things. The number one thing that they all need that the world keeps from them is Jesus. You know, if I get sick, I'm telling you right now, and I'm not saying, but myself, going to heaven is not a bad idea for me. You understand? Now, I'm not saying anybody wants to be sick or anything or anybody, but, you know, there's one comedian tells this joke about, you know, him and his wife got sick, and then they started eating better, and they lived for like 15 more years. Then they finally died and went to heaven, and they say, I can't believe we did that to stay there for 15 more years. So, like, we're eating that junk. We didn't even like the food. Yeah, we lived 15 more years, but we could already been here. And they were quite upset. So I'm telling you, the most important thing is your salvation in Christ. You understand? The next phase is way better than this phase.
Yeah.
You understand? Way better. It can't even be close to be compared.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
But don't start thinking that you have to worry about what's going on in the earth because you can't fix it. You can't fix it. Somebody, I spent all day on YouTube, and I think I finally figured out who the Antichrist is. I said, really? So what you gonna do about it? I just want to know, since you spent all that time, now what you gonna do about it? Or I'm gonna let everybody know. Then what they gonna do about it?
Right.
The Bible says there's only one person that can kill the 666 giant, and that's the rock, which is Jesus.
Amen.
So I don't know what you're preparing and searching for. You ain't going to search out and kill nobody.
Right.
Wow. That's funny.
So what I'm saying is, look, be joyful about where you are. I'm so happy to be a Christian. It is, I mean, Drea knows I will break out dancing in the house at any moment because... because I'm just joyful about the fact that I didn't deserve to go to heaven. And I was, and God even still loved me through all of the junk that I was doing. I was repenting, but I was still doing junk. And he's like, okay, I'm going to forgive you again. And then I was like, oh my goodness. Now I can't go with you guys today because, you know, if I go to the club, then I'm going to start drinking. Then so I'm not going. Okay, I'll go. And then now you have to, and then now you're messed up again. Oh God, please forgive me. Okay, I'm going to forgive you. Now I'm in jail for fighting with the police. And and God's like, okay, now I got to get him out of jail. I get on my knees. Oh God, please forgive me. And, okay, I hear you. I love you, son. I'm going to get you out. We're going to get you out of Canada. And he kept, keep forgiving me. And then he gets me back to United States. And then he's like, okay, now let me kind of give you some common sense and some answers, right? So the one thing I didn't do was what?
Give up.
I didn't give up. I knew I was jacked up. Some girl asked me outside of a club, I was drunk. Are you a Christian? I said, yeah.
Ooh, staggering.
She said, her sister said, here, quote a scripture. I said, something. She said, this man ain't no Christian. Let's get out of here. She took her sister and walked off. She said, do not give him your phone number. He is not a Christian. I went home and said, Lord, I'm sorry again. I messed up. If you just let me repent, I'll get better. Just a pitiful, immature Christian. And God finally got me back here, get some common sense in me. So I finally started living for him. And I went, wow, if you live right, God blesses you.
Amen.
I didn't know that.
Amen.
Nobody told me that.
Amen.
In the beginning, nobody told me that, you know? They just gave me the right hand of fellowship. They didn't tell me to live right. So I'm telling you, but the thing is, you don't quit. You don't run out of bounds. You don't, you let God love you.
Yeah. Amen.
He's got enough love and mercy for your jacked up ways.
Amen.
Okay? And he can keep pulling you into righteousness. He can keep pulling you into righteousness.
Amen.
You don't want to quit. You don't want to stop confessing. And what's the number one thing? You don't want to play games.
Amen.
Because if God knows you mocking him,
amen,
you might as well quit. Because mocking is worse than,
amen,
it's worse.
Amen.
You know, because sometimes God will make, oh, let's let you go and just say, okay, you think you got me fooled? Keep going.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's, to me, is worse.
Worse.
You know what I mean? And then I get there and go, what do you mean you don't know my name? It's not good. I love you guys. I want you to see the Bible the way I see the Bible. I want you to see God the way I see God. The way I see God is if you live right, he blesses you. You live right, he blesses you. You live in sin, you're going to get what sinners get. You understand? My thing is, my victory's already been planned by God. I don't have no time to sit here worrying about what other people are doing and what's going on in the world for me to understand that God already sees me in the end zone. So I can't be worrying about other people's things. You understand? I can pray, stay in my word, pray for other people, witness. I can do all the things, the Bible. I can love people. I can do all of these things that I'm allowed to do, but God says one thing you're not allowed to do is worry, because lack of faith is sin.
Yes.
And worrying is sin.
Yeah.
You got an ulcer because you're stressed and you have Jesus. You got to stop worrying.
Right.
Worrying is sin.
Yeah.
That means you don't know how to give things away. You give God something. I pray I'm giving this to you, Lord, and got a string tied to it.
Right.
Soon as you hear Jesus, you're like, just in case you can pull it back, right? No, let it go. Once you let it go, it's done.
Yep.
It's done. Jesus has it. It's done.
Yep.
I don't have a string tied to it. I'm not waiting to get stressed out so I can pull it back and start doing worrying again. I let it go.
Amen.
I'm telling you, 60 years old, I feel good.
Amen.
You know why? No stress.
Amen.
No stress. I'm not worrying about it. God's got you.
Amen.
You understand?
Yeah.
I'll see you guys in the end zone. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ooh, I need some water. Am I still on?
Nope.